Hosting Hochtown brought to you in part by First State Bank, member FDIC, Mountain Fork Brewery, and Hochtown Distilling Company. Podcasting from the Washburn's Home Furnishings Studio. I'm Jay Lindley alongside Shiloh Martin and Todd McDaniel. Welcome, gentlemen.
Just to clarify, still sitting in the chair, the same chair as the supporting cast. So
I almost moved over there just so I'd be in the same color chair as the rest of you.
You look so special.
I'm going to bring my own chair up here.
I'm telling you, you should sit here next time. It's not as comfortable. The cloth
Jay did
is
have the bad back for a while.
I'm just kidding. I love these chairs. Thank you, Washburn's.
I'm just glad you're back, buddy.
Yes. Yeah, you know.
We missed you.
Just for today.
We've been doing podcasts without you, man.
Yeah, the capital and everything.
I got a feeling that ratings are about to plummet.
Once too late. They're gone. Yeah, we were in the top something percent. Yeah. Now we're like down in the 30th percentile.
People were calling, asking, hey, what's the deal?
Why is the show not good?
Either? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no good questions.
It was definitely missing in your gift.
Yeah.
And you came with appropriate attire and everything. I appreciate that.
I always do.
I came straight from work.
Very Americana.
That's trying looks to get like you've been at the lake.
I haven't, but I did buy a boat.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Houseboat?
No. You still got one for sale?
Yeah.
No, I got a. Me and my buddy went in halvesies on a 91 Malibu skier.
Oh, nice. Sweet. Is it a wake boat?
It's a ski boat. That's okay. Why it's called a Malibu skier.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
You know, I could have said it was a Malibu waker.
I'm not a skier wake boat aficionado, so I don't know the lingo. But
anyways, it's a fun little boat. We've been out on a few times. That's what I love about our area. It can look so busy. And you get out on the lake and you have just all the room in the world to just chill with your homies.
Little 5-minute ride from the marina and you get away from everybody.
I mean, we were out in a cove and some of our mutual friends, you know, the Browns, the Snyders, some of those guys were out. And
I have noticed that the tourists are starting to discover some of the local coves, though.
Like
the one we used to hit out kind of east side of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. It's starting to get crowded, so we're going to have to find something new.
Just find another one. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Speaking of being crowded, there's some comments that have been made on social media here recently, posts on social media about the traffic in the area. There's arguments both ways. It took me this long to make it that far. And there's arguments for both sides. One person posted, hey, I traveled this far. It took no time, hardly any traffic, maximum occupancy, one of the busiest weekends of the year. Another person said, it took me this long to get this far, and that's way too long. And of course, it was a discussion about the 3-lane versus the 5-lane, which is a very hot topic right now. We have shown one side for sure when it comes to this because
we're pushing an agenda.
Yeah, I mean, we are definitely inside. That's the accusation.
Yeah, I mean, we are clearly paid.
But I do want to point out that Todd has been able to air his side of the interest in this 3-lane versus 5-lane, and no other person has contacted me to this point about discussing the opposing views.
Yes.
So I want to point out as we are speaking this in this Hocha talk. Though any person any person that would love to come and tell us what they think about the 3 versus the 5-lane, I'm all ears, and we'll make time for that for sure.
Well, I can tell you what their argument's going to be.
What's
the traffic
positive?
Numbers?
Yeah,
traffic. I mean, that's the only positive thing that I can think of is why you would want the 5-lane is because the numbers are so great that a 2-lane with a turn lane couldn't handle it, and it would create more traffic issues as growth continues in Hochtown.
Right.
I mean, that is the only argument that I have heard, even when in these talks and discussions with different people, of why they want a 5-lane is because we need it.
Right.
That's the argument.
Now, a 5-lane obviously would address the traffic issues.
To a certain extent.
One of the points you've made is that even ODOT has made the statement that it would address traffic issues up to 5 years from now, but by then we're still going to have another issue, which is going to be traffic.
If growth continues on the trajectory that we've seen. We got our Memorial Day traffic numbers. These aren't ODOT numbers, so they're not official, but this is from I think it's called Tracer AI. It's an artificial intelligent software, works off cell phone data. But according to it, there was 21,000 cars, roughly 21 to 22,000 cars came through the north end of Hochtown. I'm sorry, that was on the south end of Hochtown, Memorial Weekend, which is, it's as high or higher than our highest numbers before.
Okay.
Your first thought is, oh, well, we need the five lane. We got to have the five lane. But when you take into account how much of that is through traffic, if you take that same mechanism that we got those numbers from, if you go to the, right. If you take those some numbers and go to the north end and get a traffic count there, it was considerably less. I want to say it was like 8,000. It knows the way the software works, it takes their IP off their cell phone. It doesn't give you personal data, but it'll tell
seems
you.
Seems intrusive.
Well, it doesn't give you any personal data. It just says
where this person's headed.
McKinney. Yeah. It says this cell phone is out of McKinney, Texas, coming through. That's it. That's really the only information you get from it. But it can tell if they're all clumped together in a car, so it knows that that was one vehicle that came through. It doesn't count the cell phones.
Right.
It's able to count the vehicles.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's smart.
And so using that software, we were able to extrapolate that roughly 35% of the vehicles that came through there was through traffic. It wasn't people coming into Hochtown as tourists. They were either going through to go to other cabins up north, or it was people, workers, locals driving through.
Right.
Yeah.
Truckers, whatever. And those numbers actually match up quite well with ODOT numbers that we got from the solar eclipse weekend. Solar eclipse weekend, cabins were full. 12,000 vehicles came across that south line.
And can I just say, traffic was...
It was dead.
Pretty great for the eclipse.
Yeah, I mean, it was not bad. Now, you can say, well, no one was traveling. Everybody got to their cabin and stayed, which is true for
some
the most
of that,
part.
Yeah, for sure.
But just the traffic numbers in general, no locals were traveling on that day.
Right.
I mean, very few.
To death.
Yeah, everybody was scared. No trucks
were going to loot us. Yeah. You know, they were. I mean, all these hippies were coming.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So
I
people
was barricaded in my house.
Businesses weren't open. Businesses closed. You know, it just limited the amount of locals and stuff coming through. So if you take the ODOT, or not the ODOT numbers, but the numbers we just received, 7,000-8,000 of them were through traffic. That puts you back at that 12,000 number, or real close to that 12,000 number that we got during the eclipse. So that tells me that when cabins are full, you've got 12,000 vehicles worth of tourists coming into Hochtown. The max number for a two-lane with a turn lane is 18,000 cars a day. And I got that number from an engineering, but I didn't make that up.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that that's ODOT standard, but that's a typical engineering standard. The way I look at it right now, we are two-thirds of the way to max out that three-lane.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, if we can remove the through traffic, hence the scenic loop, we don't have the traffic issues. And also this idea that people are like, it took me 40 minutes to get through Hochtown. Go to Branson. Go to Pigeon Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Go to any tourist destination. And no one has a problem with waiting, you know,
the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
I mean, the cost of doing vacation.
Yeah. And so I think that the harm done by the five lane outweighs the good it will bring as far as the economic impact it'll have on Hochtown, what it'll do to downtown, basically.
How are the time frames different in the three versus five lane in terms of construction?
I don't know the actual timeline. I know that I was told that they would be there in some capacity at least 5 years.
Either way?
No, doing the five lane.
Doing a five.
Doing a five. But go to Valiant and look at Valiant. I'm sure there was a timeline on it, and I'm sure they've gone past it. And
yeah, Valiant's tough.
I don't ever see them working. I mean, I during basketball season, I travel through Valiant a lot, headed out of town to watch games. I never seen them when they're working. So why should we believe that this Hochtown situation should be any different?
Yeah, the efficiency of road crews and the United States in general, pretty rough.
But I've stayed away from the three versus five when speaking to legislators and people who pass policy, because I believe the loop is necessary regardless of whether it's three or five. And I didn't want to do anything that might get in the way of that, of the loop becoming a reality. And I knew that if I got in there and got to talking three versus five, I would create a divide. I would have some of them, you know, it would be, and that would probably kill any chance at all of being able to get that loop. in my discussions with lawmakers up in the Capitol, I have stayed away from the 3 versus 5. The 3-lane is just my personal opinion of what would work if we're able to get the loop.
And you have mentioned at the end of the day, if the 5-lane is what happens, then that's what you accept.
I've said this from the beginning. We should ask the town of Hochatown what it wants. That's ODOT's response. Every time, you know, we speak to them and try to address the issue, they go, well, you guys passed a resolution. And true, we did. I feel like we did that in haste. I don't feel like we did our due diligence and went out and visited with the public. I think a simple town meeting would have sufficed and found out what does the community want. If the community of Hochatown, if it was determined that they wanted the 5-lane, 51% of them wanted the 5-lane, I would be in full support of the 5-lane. I would shut my mouth about anything else, and I'd go, this is what we're doing. But that ain't what happened, you know.
Well, may I ask, who is Hochatown?
The citizens, the people.
The registered voters?
The registered voters, and the businesses. We need to listen to businesses,
Well, yeah,
too.
That's what I was going to say, because it's, you know, it's a weird demographic when you have 300-and-something registered voters.
234
registered voters, but the impact and the weight of all this really affects, you know, thousands of people.
Yeah, well, and the businesses, that's where our revenue comes from. That's kind of what built Hochatown to what it is those businesses up and down that main corridor. And they should be heard. They, you know, their opinion should be valued to some extent. And it's not. As a town, I think we jumped the gun in passing this resolution for the 5-lane. And whereas we should have actually visited with our community and our businesses and asked them, what do you guys want? And then reach a decision that way. ODOT's not in the economic game. You know, they're traffic numbers. They're there to, you know, this is what the traffic numbers say. This is what we're going to do. And then there's been these kind of vague threats of the funding getting pulled. We were given an option. They came to us with the option. If it wasn't an option, then why did you ever approach us with the option? You know, ODOT came to us and said, we're going to do this south end first, give you guys time to decide what Hochatown wants to do on the north end. And
well, let's talk about the south end. That's going from the south portion of Hochatown there, the what's already been worked on, basically, at the Choctaw Nation.
I mean, they basically just
and
put
then
in
south,
a,
right to Broken Bow.
Turn lane entrance for them, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So are they going to, now are they going to go from them south?
To Broken Bow.
That was the original plan, to go from there back toward Beavers Bend, the Beavers Bend entrance.
And there is no secret now. We can talk about the fact that they're proposing putting one of those roundabouts in Broken Bow at the four-way stop.
Yep.
I'm glad that that's happening, but it's a little bit irritating because that idea was proposed when all this was, and it was like, oh, we can't do that. No, they don't work.
ODOT did.
ODOT. Other people,
other folks,
you know, those don't work. There's, you know, and then all of a sudden now it's a possibility.
Yeah,
I mean, why are we not looking at everything? That's my main thing, is as a community, as a town, as a state, as a Department of Transportation, why are we not looking at every possible option to make sure we mitigate any damage done, but also solve the traffic problem? Why are we being handcuffed by this one idea, this one plan from a government entity that the economic impact does not go into
it's
their
not
decision?
Their priority.
Yes, it doesn't go into their decision making. And we're going to let ODOT decide the economic future of Hochatown. And I guarantee there's some business owners in Valiant that have lost their tail since that construction has begun. You know, everybody's like, oh, it's growing pains, growing pains. Okay, no one's arguing that fact. All I'm saying is, there's other options on the table now. The scenic loop has actually caught some traction. We've got some higher-ups in the government that think it's a good idea. You know, one of the biggest players that would have to be involved seems to be interested in you know, doing their part to make it happen. So now we've got two of the bigger players saying, okay, this loop is maybe a good idea. So why don't we sit down as a whole, everyone, and go, how do we make this happen? Because you can work on the loop nonstop.
Like, and like you said, even if you look past the 5-lane or 3-lane, whatever, we expect that not to be adequate in 5 or 10 years, whatever. Anyway, so a loop is still going to be necessary.
Exactly.
So let's stop talking about 3 to 5-lane, because this is already in the works and it's going to be years before it even breaks ground, like they said, 2 years minimum. Mm-hmm. So I say, why not look 5 years in the future and start talking about this loop? like you said, we'll get those people together that need to, so we can see if this is something we can make happen.
And it seems like that seems like the logical thing to do here. I don't think it's a secret the tribe wants the five lane.
Okay.
Up until we passed that resolution, and when asked, their response was, whatever Hochtown wants to do, we will support. Representative Eccles ran a bill, we've talked about it on here, that was going to require ODOT to do an economic impact study and a feasibility study on the loop before they continued work in Hochtown. That was shut down. You know, we figured out at that point that the tribe was for the five lane.
They got the resolution, and like they said, they were going to back whatever you guys decided, and they took that resolution as the decision.
As the decision, yeah. Exactly. And as a trustee, I feel like, again, I said earlier, we reached that decision in haste. We did not go speak with our constituents. We didn't go talk to the people. Right. And I voted no against that resolution. Our other trustees didn't see it that way. I would almost say they voted on it with bad information, because we were told in that meeting that the five lane had an 80% approval rating from ODOT's earlier meetings that they had at Ida Bell and Broken Bow. And, you know, they had these little questionnaires that you could fill out and turn in. And we were told that it was 80% in favor of the five lane. This was before Hochtown was even incorporated.
Right.
But I have since seen information that was requested. That's not the case. Actually, what I've seen is there was three that requested five lane. It's nowhere close to what it was perceived.
Three people total? What do you mean three?
Well, I don't remember the exact numbers, and I wish I'd have got this before I came.
That would have
here.
Been helpful.
I know. I'll put it this way. What I've seen as far as what was turned in, I'm going to get this number wrong, but it was less than 10% saying five lane.
Well, let's what was the other 90%?
Nothing. Responses, questions. Most of them were just questions, like, you know, or comments.
Oh,
on the,
none of them, yeah.
But only like less than 10% of them were saying five lane.
Directly,
this is what we want.
This is what we want.
Yes. They kind of scared us with COVID numbers. Oh, my gosh, everything's moving so fast. You know, with this growth, you guys are going to be, well, the growth isn't that necessarily.
It's a little stunted now.
Yeah, it's slowed back to reality. It just needs to be looked at. Studies need to be done. Things need to be done to find out what is the actual best solution economically and traffic-wise. No one's saying ODOT should do nothing.
No.
I don't think anybody's making the argument that the expansion should stop. My biggest concern is the length of construction and the economic impact it's going to have on that main corridor through Hochtown.
How many people decide to stop coming altogether to Hochtown because that construction is so
exactly.
How many have already decided that, though, because of the traffic during entry and exit periods?
Well,
luckily not so many to this point. We're seeing dives mm-hmm.
The numbers are still coming up
right.
as far as who's coming in. But to that argument, I would go, that's a good argument if they were going to be able to come in here and knock it out in, say, a year.
Right.
If they're going to come in and fix the problem in a year, okay, then that's not what it is. It's we're going to start in 2 years, and then it's going to take, you know, X amount of years to get it complete.
5 years?
That's what.
Well, when are they slated to start now?
26, sometime 26. 26.
Yeah. So 2 years from now.
Oh, so they did the.
They could do all the studies and stuff between now and then.
Well, but they did what they've done, and now they're not doing anything for 2 years?
No, they're supposed to do the south from the casino south.
Okay.
Is what they're supposed to do. Now, they have moved the north end into phase two. That was another thing that they did at the last meeting, is they put out the new schedule, and all of a sudden the north end is in phase two along with the south end. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that they will go ahead and try to start. Do something at the same time. And then another issue that we've come across here recently is we're working on city sewer, trying to get city sewer through that main corridor. We would like to be able to schedule that with the road work, so we're not
tearing it up twice.
But we don't know that we're going to have an easement to put our city sewer. We don't know that there's going to be room within the city sewer. And when ODOT was asked the question, their response was, well, yeah, maybe, don't really know. You may have to take some, like, eminent domain, some people's land. But no one's going to argue against city sewer. And so after looking at the map, I'm like, well, where do you put it? Are you going to put it behind the businesses? Are we going to have to build alleys behind these businesses to run sewer? Utilities.
Somewhere needs to some
well,
sewer.
Well, it's and then the other utilities. That's on moving the electrical will be on Choctaw Electric. Moving the water will be on rule water number 5. It's going to be on them. It's not ODOT that's going to take care of it. There seems to be this notion that ODOT's going to take care of us. They're going to they're going to take care of it, guys. They're going to they're not going to do anything.
Will be perfect.
Everything will be good. We can't depend on them to look at every aspect and take care of us in a way that, you know, it should be our responsibility.
Especially when the roads tore up, just entry alone is a nightmare into some businesses.
Yeah.
And we're talking regular businesses with regular entries. Forget the type of entries we have in some of the businesses we have in Hochatown. Think about it. The entire parking lot is an entry in some of the cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. The less damage, the less work that we can do, but still solve the traffic problem, is the solution. And that is the loop with the 3-lane there. Do the loop around. We've even, you know, had some talks with a few folks from Broken Bow talking about, you know, the negative aspect that we see from this loop is its effect it could have on you guys.
Absolutely.
What could we do to get you guys on board with this loop? And, of course, the only realistic answer is bring it back into 259.
100%.
North of Broken Bow, where traffic still's got to go, you know, still has to travel through Broken Bow, which is fine. It serves its purpose. It still does what it needs to be. It still does what we want it to do. And there's also the issue of safety. ODOT's like, we're going to have 2 lanes open at all times. What if we have a wreck? What if there's a wreck there? You can't get traffic from the north end to the south if we don't have a loop. The dangers of fire in the area, you know. How can people get out and get gone when there's only one place to go?
Right.
And I don't have the answers to all these things, but they need to be looked at. It needs to be part of a comprehensive plan for the town, the state, the county.
Those answers could be found, absolutely.
Exactly. The answers are out there. And if we're willing to do the work, we can come up with a good plan that solves these problems, yet still doesn't cause harm, or at least mitigates the harm that would be caused by all the construction. And that's all I think any of us really want. No one wants to shut ODOT down. No one's against the expansion. We want to protect the businesses that we have. We want to protect our tourism. We want to be safe, and we want the traffic taken care of.
Is arguing with ODOT to the point that they do, let's say that is an actual reality, so let's say the threat is real and they pull funding for that, is arguing with them for a 3-lane worth losing funding for a 5-lane?
A lot of those businesses think so,
right,
that are up and down that corridor. Now, it doesn't directly affect me, you know, at all. As far as I do own a property on 259, but we built off the
right,
the easement. We're good.
So a 5-lane does not affect you.
So just to be clear,
in the sense of financially, it doesn't affect you.
You don't have a financial interest
in
either
lane.
Way.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, that's good to clear
that
up.
I'd like to know
up.
That. Yeah.
Well,
because I don't want
other
just
than
some
I
bias
just I don't
BS.
A negative impact on tourism negatively affects.
Right.
Me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Not in your pocketbook. That's what I think people may have the notion that a 3-lane probably helps him somehow. That's where
it's going to help someone. And this idea that we don't do something because it helps.
Like, yeah.
I see them on Facebook going after Girls Gone Wine. You know, you guys built the right of way. Yeah, blah, blah. You know, they're hammering them.
Well, could they foresee the growth like that when they did? I mean, or should they have foreseen the growth? That's the question. Because I hate to take anything from anybody.
Right.
You know.
Well, in hindsight, it's always 20/20.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
But just the fact that it helps someone doesn't make it the best move.
Agreed.
No, there's always someone going to benefit from every decision that gets made.
Of course.
If we don't do things just because it benefits someone, we'll do nothing.
Right.
I think if you just step back from everything and go, you just sit down and you ask yourself, what is the best possible plan? What is the best thing that could happen? Everyone would come to the conclusion is if we can solve the traffic issue while mitigating the damage to our businesses and our tourism, that's the best answer.
I like it.
And let's.
And that doesn't have any left or right across the aisle. That's truth. Whatever fixes the traffic issues with the least amount of damage to the businesses, and I think everybody's happy at that point.
That's the best solution. And to sit down and just, you know, the 5-laners are just like, it's traffic. We got to fix it. You know, we don't want to come back and do it again in so many years. You know, they say, well, if you do the 3-lane, you'll have to come back and do the 5-lane when later. Well, no, if we do the 3-lane and then we build the loop,
that's the idea.
You get 5 lanes.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're still preserving that portion of Hochatown that is small feel
And I think if you ask any tourist that comes into town, they do not like the idea of a five lane. They like the way things are. They like the vibe that you get. I think part of ODOT's thing is nobody wants money left at the end of the year. None of those government entities want money left. They want to spend every dime so they can go back and
Absolutely. We needed it.
We needed more. We need more. Yep. We ran out. So let's come up with the plan. And if the best plan says that a three lane with a passing lane and the loop will work, take that money and put those bike paths in. Put those sidewalks in. I know why the tribe wants a five lane, or at least
Tell us why you think the tribe wants to buy.
I think they want traffic coming by their $200 million investment.
Absolutely.
I mean, otherwise, I don't know why they would want the five.
But at the same time, if I was the tribe, I would definitely want a five lane from Broken Bow to the hotel.
See, to me, that's where all their business is coming.
Yeah, 100%. You're not getting anything from the north.
I mean, maybe that's what they think. Maybe they have the idea that if that is a five lane, they will start getting business from the north.
I guess maybe.
Yeah, but they would just be taking it from their other resort in Pocola.
Right.
Where is tourism coming from north of us?
My main fear is that ODOT will pull the funding. Like I said, some of the people don't care. You know, they're like, well, if they want to pull it, that's their decision. To me, they've got plenty of work to do.
Yeah.
And we could come up with the best plan possible in that time period.
Yeah, I still think going from the Choctaw Nation to Broken Bow just makes sense.
Well, that to
get it done.
To
get
me,
done.
That should be done first.
Yeah.
And into Broken Bow, because your bottleneck's in Broken Bow. I mean, it doesn't matter if we got five lanes.
Yeah, and if there's a roundabout there with all of that new room that will be created with the hotel moved out and everything, that would help with five lane from that roundabout to the Choctaw Nation, that would help with some traffic for sure.
Oh, it would. I mean, like right now, I think Broken Bow could do some things to help. I think on Sundays, instead of using the traffic lights, get a traffic guard down there running this north-south traffic through, you know. Get one car over here, he can hold it, get it through, go. That would help.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, there are people in favor of the five lane. If it's five lane and that's what it ends up being, you know.
Let's go to one more thing. You mentioned not asking the people. Let's say you were granted the ability to have a little town hall meeting. You passed out ballots to every voter, and every voter, not every, but the majority said, yes, let's go ahead and get this five lane through so we don't mess up the possibility of having it and then continue. You know, would you be cool with that then?
I would shut my mouth about the three.
All right. That's what I want to hear. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, although you have opinions and you have an interest in what is going on personally, you also are representing the people, and I like that that comes out in the end.
I mean, that's what I was voted in, to represent them.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what that's why I voted no on the resolution to begin with, because I didn't feel like we had spoken to them.
Yeah.
They hadn't let us know. Even my own wife doesn't believe me when I say, she's like, why do you care? Why do you care so much? And I'm like, well, because the businesses and a lot of people are coming to me and asking me, is there anything we can do about this? Because we don't want a five lane.
Right.
And I know that that's hard to believe, maybe that somebody is actually just doing it because they feel like it's their responsibility. But I really have nothing personal other than, like I said, it's actually what I feel is going to be a negative impact on tourism as a whole. And the fact I was voted in.
And at the end of the day, tourism is what drives this.
It's
100%.
It's what's got us to here where we're at. And, so we'll see. I mean, like I said, it may nothing happen. I mean, nothing may change. It may be the five lane, and that's just what it is.
Well, how about an update with just city business? We've seen got some CLEAT accreditations. Have we talked about that on the air?
A little bit, I think.
I want to get into it.
Give us a little update there.
Well, I think we've reached all the requirements. We're there. So, I mean, I think we're just waiting on them to actually give us our whatever it is they actually issue to us. We're CLEAT certified, or we've met all the requirements. And then we're going to put out for a police chief.
Nice.
And it's going to be a hired position. It's not an elected position. The STR thing's been a big issue. It hasn't went as smooth as we'd hoped.
And what's the STR thing?
Short-term rentals, the lodging tax, collected. We're still probably only collecting about 40%, if it is that, you know, much, 40% of the actual STRs in city limits that are supposed to be paying the lodging tax. My guess is about 40%. I thought that was going to be the biggest issue is compliance, getting compliant. I knew that would be a difficult task. But apparently just getting the permitting online, you know, that portal where people can go in and file and get their actual permit to be an STR has been an obstacle.
Gotcha.
And I personally, you know, I can get my weed eater, get my registration card, go online, fill it out, and I have a registered weed eater. You know, it's done. To me, it's the same mechanism. Like, why is this taking so long? And so we've asked Adam, our city manager, to address the issue. So it's in his hands now, and, you know, he's going to look at everything, do what he thinks is best, and if he thinks changing right now is best, then we've given him that power. We did pass a city ordinance where they had to be registered by July 1 or it was penalties. You know, we're going to
extend that.
Yeah, that's
going to. If you're not,
we're going to rescind that resolution or amend it at least. Yeah. And I think in the end we'll probably end up doing some other things that will benefit STRs for the trouble. You know, I don't know what that'll be. I don't know if that'll be lowering the permit fee or something. But we're going to do something to kind of, hey guys, sorry this didn't go like we thought. Hopefully this makes it up to you a little bit. We have a meeting Wednesday. I think one of the items on that agenda is to start a comprehensive city plan. Like a 10-year, 20-year, I'm not sure the length, but get that thing going. They cost about $200,000 and probably take 18 months to do. But apparently you can't get any grants or anything without that having one. This
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
So
that's, you know, why it costs so much.
I feel like it's, you know, we're all learning as trustees too, you know, like, oh, you know, you can't file for these grants without having this. Well, let's get this done. So
mm-hmm.
we're starting that process. Fire department, we've been working on some possible fire department things. You know, we did find out that we can put our own fire department in if we so choose. Me personally, I would like to see something that could be done quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe work with City of Broken Bow. Just some way to get it in quick so we can get that ISO
yeah.
rating down.
I mean, that's huge
for everybody.
That's huge.
Insurance has gone through the roof.
Yep.
I mean,
true to roof. I've heard up to $1,000 a month per property for some people.
Some of them went up threefold. Mm. Like what you were paying $2,300 for is now $6,300.
Mm.
And like businesses, like it's insane what businesses are paying up there for their insurance.
Yeah.
And so anything we can do to help get that done, get that ISO down quickly, I think we should do it. Now, the Hochtown Volunteer Fire Department, there were attempts to maybe work something out with those guys, but they've got to get their thing straightened out.
They've got some
issues.
A little bit of drama that yeah. they're dealing with internally, and not sure what it's stemming from or what's going on, but it's definitely public. So
yeah, I mean, you know. So they've got to get their stuff straightened out before we could even start to think about, you know, working with those guys, because we don't. The last thing we need is, you know, we have enough of our own drama.
Yeah.
We don't need
adopting more.
Yeah, because they're a county-funded department, so it's not anything to
right.
do with Hochtown. You know, they're,
exactly.
they're totally different. It's no different than the relationship that the town would have with the county deputies.
Right.
You know, and so.
And then we did reach an agreement with the county. We are going to start maintaining county roads. It was voted two commissioners voted yes, and a third abstained from a vote. And it was a public meeting, so I don't feel like I'm
right.
letting anything out of the bag here. But, you know, she said it out loud in a meeting. We don't, my voters, the people in my district, we don't want to do anything that would benefit Hochtown, which is strange, you know. And her feeling is over the hospital. I believe that she blames Hochtown for the hospital closing the OB clinic and the clinic up north. I don't know why they would blame Hochtown.
They're already tax funded.
They are, exactly.
We didn't take any. No one took any money from them.
No one took anything. And
so how? Why would they close things that they were already doing that they didn't lose any funding for? They've not lost any money.
Their argument is that the expense of upkeep on the current hospital, because it is so antiquated, is it's eating up their budget.
It's our problem now in 2024?
Apparently, they.
What about the last 50 years?
Well,
what did y'all do for the last 50 years of collecting money?
Apparently, their legal team too is much more expensive than the legal team for the opposing side. Because I know what the opposing side spent, and if that is the amount of money that cost them to shut down the OB clinic, well, then it was going to shut down anyway because it ain't that much money. I think they're broke. Rural hospitals don't make money, and when you're in a county where half of your people are native, so they go to the
tribal hospital right across the street.
They go there instead of coming to you, and half your population is that way. It's going to be hard to make it.
And then the half of your
people
your,
that do
your
show
clients
up are
not insured. We're rural Oklahoma. We're historically poverty stricken areas. So
well, I think they built their budget on COVID numbers. They were getting all that money during COVID. They planned based on that money, and all of a sudden that money disappears. I mean, I was guilty of it in our management company. COVID hit, rentals are at 90%. You got,
it's going to be like this forever.
I guess if you had asked me, I'd have said, well, I know it won't be like this forever. But, we made decisions as a management company. We started making or offering services that we didn't normally offer. We hired extra people to make sure we were doing a good job. Money was good. We were trying to pass that on to our people. Then all of a sudden things go back to reality. You've got all this extra overhead. You have to make changes. And I think the hospital waited way too late to make changes. Me personally, I think the hospital needs an OB clinic. I mean, you need a place for women in the county to go be able to have babies. I don't know that they need necessarily to be performing surgeries, that kind of thing, over at Idabil. And it's not a knock on the hospital. It's not saying the hospital can't do these things. It's just the fact of the matter of what we just said. Half your population is tribal, and then the other half doesn't have insurance. So you have to go, okay, what are we capable? What could we do and do well? You get people triaged, you get them fixed up, and you send them to where they need to go.
That's what we do now.
I mean, I think that should be the focus. Go get your OB clinic open.
DeQueen opened a brand new hospital here recently, and they're not just thriving.
I've heard those.
They're having issues. They're having to, cut back already. So the idea that a small town hospital funded by the county can make it just because it's brand new
right. And
has all the newest stuff isn't feasible. It's not the truth.
Well, they've already started off on the wrong foot. Has anyone seen a plan for this hospital? Has anyone seen a set of blueprints showing this a cost? Have we seen an actual what it's going to cost? Now, if someone has, I would love to see it. They went out and they bought 100 acres. Why are you buying 100 acres if it's for a hospital? I mean, I know you need some land, but
the current hospital's not quite on 100 acres.
I mean, they just made some bad decisions in trying to get where they were. And they chose the lodging tax. To me, the lodging tax is a very unsafe tax.
Well, that's I've said it on here before, but that's my deal. Okay, let's take this county commissioner. Look, I don't know you, lady. Please don't be mad at me. But to have such, blatant and public ill will towards the tourist area that is responsible for the tourism tax, and if it truly is, upset over this, like, you're not going to do anything that'll benefit the one area that you're levying the tax that you need for the hospital on. Like, if you don't support tourism and we don't, as a county, support Hochtown and the other tourist areas, which is about 5%, being mm-hmm. outside of Hochtown, I made that percentage up, but we can all agree that the bulk of it is in Hochtown. If we're not supporting the tourism, then why would we levy risk in
something that you're not willing to support?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
It makes zero sense. It's like you got this pig. I think I may have used this analogy on here before, so forgive me if you've heard it, but you've got this pig out here, and she's making babies, man. And these babies are going out to all these different parts of the town, the county, and they're cutting them suckers up. And everybody's eating fat. But instead of just taking their pigs and growing their pigs up and creating their own, they want to start cutting pieces of meat off the main mama pig up there,
yeah.
Which in this is Hochtown. Everybody wants to just take that piece away. I mean, it's already happened. Look at the way they're taxing land now. Now, the way their software is set up, if you file a plat, it sees it as an improvement, and so they do an evaluation of what platted lots are selling for. So instead of paying land tax on what you paid for the property, they want you to pay on what it's valued
like
at.
Like a comparable.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So now they've taken out another piece of the profit margin. So now builders, investors, people that were coming in and doing this, their profit margins are to the point now where they might go do something else with their money. And everybody's thinking that it's just, there's so much money. Everybody's getting rich in Hochtown. Everybody's just making it. We want our cut. Well, what they've done now is they've made it where it's not as appealing as it was. The investors aren't looking at it like they were. And when you do that, you stunt the growth. You slow growth down. They're all got these plans for things that require money.
Require the growth.
Yes, that requires the growth. And so it's a catch-22 for them. I mean, and they don't realize it. They don't realize what they're doing. I hope that the mindsets change a little over time. You know, we get some people in some certain positions that understand how things need to work. I mean, I get it. COVID kind of shed a weird light on everything. Like it wasn't necessarily the way things are, but that's how they were for a short span of time. And everybody's seen that.
And they're holding on to it, too.
Yeah.
You know? Holding on to the pricing and holding on to the hope and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there's people now that are still trying to sell land for.
And back to the county commissioner that said that, she may be just repeating what her constituents are saying.
So she's about to be up for election, and if she plans on running again, I think that was like, hey, guys, I'm tough on Hochtown, you know, vote for
gotcha.
Me. Which a lot of the county, unfortunately, still has that attitude.
And, I mean, ultimately, she didn't vote against it. She just abstained.
She abstained from the
vote. So, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe that was a good political move.
I kind of get it. I mean, yeah. I do understand it. But to me, she should be educating her constituents on the importance of
keeping
the cash cow
absolutely.
Rolling.
Absolutely.
And just as a side note, the MCTA, which is not Hochtown, but I think we can all agree that the vast number of its money comes from Hochtown.
The McCurtain County Tourism Authority.
Gave Ida Bell, I believe it was $65,000 last year. They gave Broken Bow $50,000-something. I think they just gave them $50,000-something again.
What's it for?
Ida Bell used theirs to build some sidewalks and do like
economic development.
Like, it's supposed to be for tourism.
Gotcha.
You don't allow short-term rentals in your municipality, and then the municipalities themselves are exempt from the tourism tax, they're not paying in any at all.
And yet, Hochtown has received $0 from the MCTA.
Really?
That I know of. And I know we requested some money in the past for Hochtown projects and was told no. Now, the town hasn't requested those, but individuals have.
Well, I've spoke with Dave recently. He said he'd love to get back on the podcast. So
bring it on, Dave.
Yeah,
we'd love to have you.
He's Dave. Is the president again? Is that right?
Yeah,
Mercury County Tourism Authority.
Yeah,
president.
He was, then he wasn't. Now he is.
Yes,
love that.
And,
yes,
and I believe the MCTA serves an important role. I believe they've done a great job in
absolutely.
Doing what. But they've made some decisions that kind of baffle me too. Like giving, I'm not saying don't give some money to these because to do things to promote tourism, but I go back to you got to know where your fat pig is,
yeah.
You know, and do some things to help it grow. Let's, you know, right now we're doing everything. We're doing the county's job. We're about to be doing, we're trying to figure out a way to take care of private roads. I mean, it's not going to be long before we are going out and maintaining the roads for private and county roads. A little help would be nice, you know, along the way.
Well, I'm not in the votes. I don't know why money went to one, two, or three and didn't go to the other. But I would think that there's some money that's probably could be used, like, for sidewalks, things of that nature, in Hochtown with monies from that. Now, again, I'm not in any of those votes, so
yeah.
I don't know why or where it's allowed to go or can or can't go. You know, I just don't know. But
We finally got some representation on the board, too.
Nice. Who's that?
Wenda Blankenship. She's
awesome.
On the MCTA, and she's from Hochtown.
Very cool.
I don't think any mayor should be on the MCTA. I think at that point it becomes a political board. I think that should be made up of citizens. I don't think any mayor from any town, especially mayors from towns that don't pay into the MCTA. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer to me. But, you know, you've got the Ida Bell mayor on there. You've got the Broken Bow mayor
right.
on there.
And that's just like a spot that's given.
The commissioners, I believe, choose. I think originally each commissioner could choose two spots, but I don't know that they still stick with that model. But
gotcha.
That was kind of the intent. We're fighting fights that we shouldn't be fighting.
Right. It seems like Hochtown is based off fighting fights that shouldn't have or have gone longer than they should have.
history of unnecessary battles.
We've won them. My wife gets so mad at me. She's like, why are you doing this? Why are you? I'm like, well, 'cause we're right. I'm on the right side of it. And then I popped off the other day. I was like, I'm 3-0. She's like, what are you talking
undefeated,
about?
Undefeated, baby.
And I'm like, 3-0 in court, And she's like, do not ever say that out loud. And I'm like, well, it's the truth.
Here he is.
Can I leave it in?
Leave it in. I mean, I don't. At this point, I am tired of being politically correct with a lot of this. I mean, I don't want to pick a fight with nobody.
Right.
But at some point, the ridiculousness of it needs to be called out. I'm sure that I get things wrong sometimes. I'm not always going to be correct on everything. When I am wrong about something and I'm shown to be wrong, I hope I have the facilities to come in and go, hey, guys, I was wrong. Either I didn't have the information or I just made the wrong choice.
To tie it all back together, 10 years from now, when there's a 5-lane and a loop, we'll all be like, we were all right and we were all wrong.
Hey, and I hope so. I hope that's the case. I hope that...
With beautiful pedestrian paths across the 5-lane and all kinds of stuff.
I hope so, man. I really do.
I imagine one of those walkways that goes over the highway. Wouldn't that be cool?
We can't do that, though, because then we're how people...
Oh, yeah.
We got to leave all the... You can't
well,
have
what
no
with
overpasses.
With the loop, though, then...
Oh,
and
they
can
hit the loop.
Yeah,
sure.
They get the loop.
They could do that.
You have to take the loop if you got a big, huge box fan for turbine on there. So. Yeah.
But, and then a lot of people, the sky's falling attitude around Hochtown, oh my God, it's caving, crashing. Well, there are some people losing their tail.
Are there?
Yeah. I mean, they bought it high to COVID.
Yeah. And they went in fully borrowed with no cash a lot of the time. And then you mentioned that, or we've had that mentioned multiple times, how some of the people that bought in at the height of COVID had to borrow all the money. And then expected the rentals.
They expected that 90% occupancy that
to
COVID.
Stay.
So you do have some people that are in some bad situations. Now, I will say, and this was the case before COVID, small cabins do well. Our small cabins, 1 and 2 bedroom, 70, 75% occupancy. It's our bigger cabins that have fallen off since COVID. They're harder to rent. They rent later. And that's where your overhead is so much.
Right.
And that's where you run into these problems that you're having. But occupancy, we're actually up over last year. Now our revenue,
the ADR
is down. Is taking a hit. But I think that, a year of finding that happy spot, and that's what we're trying to do now is, I'm looking at our numbers, occupancy's up 11%, but revenue's basically the same. Okay. To me, that means I need to raise prices.
Yeah.
I want
less wear and tear for the same price.
Yeah, exactly. I want 5% occupancy, but I also want 5% revenue. I want that gain in the revenue side as well, too. So it's about finding that happy spot. And the days of just sitting on your butt in your cabin renting are over.
Yeah. Got to market now.
We've kicked up our marketing tenfold. I mean, social media, we're making commercials. I mean, and that's what you got to do now.
I was on a commercial.
Let's go.
Yes, I even got paid for that. I didn't expect to get paid for that, just for the record.
Which
I got a check.
From the
distillery.
Really?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Because I was there at that day. I got a text from you. It was like, what you doing? It was like, they need some pretty faces. I was like, yes.
Interesting.
Here I am.
You were here, Shiloh.
Wow.
You were here, man. Hey.
First time hearing of it.
You can't go to the city 80% of the time and then be upset when you're not a part of the fun. I wasn't there either.
That's true.
I had stuff to do.
He was busy, yeah.
I had stuff.
I wouldn't want you on camera either.
I wouldn't either. That's what I mean. I've got a face for radio. You've got to take care of your cabins. Yesterday, I was at a cabin for 3 hours trying to fix their water heater. Back in COVID, I probably wouldn't have maybe not put so much effort into it. I'd have tried for 15, 20 minutes, been like, guys, sorry. But yesterday, I was putting in the effort. You've got to step your game up when competition is fierce. There's a bunch more cabins out there. I see people on Facebook, they're like, oh, my cabin's only at 10%, and I don't know. They've got to do something different. You've got to figure it out. There's a lot of people doing that right now, trying to figure out what to do. But that being said, the traffic numbers, if ODOT comes out and says that I hope they come out with the same numbers, because that means that information that we have, that Acer AI, that if it's correct and matches, then we've got a source for data to help us do the things we need to do.
Oh, yeah.
help us kind of direct where we need to advertise and what we need to do as far as getting people to our cabins. That's kind of the gist on Hochatown. Anything else you guys want
to
talk about?
Shiloh's got to go back to the city.
Yeah, I got
to
go.
What time you got to be there?
Tonight sometime.
Okay, well then, let's just hang out.
But well, I have a tractor stuck in my yard. I got
to
go get out.
Oh, you're still trying to do that today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I got to get it out.
So, well, hopefully. That sucks. I was having a good time here with you guys. I don't
yeah,
want
to hate
cut
to cut
it short.
It short an hour and a half later.
Well, that was good Hutch talk. I think the people, you know, I think they want to hear what's going on ultimately when it comes to that stuff.
I guess I would say if you're in favor of the 3 or 5, either way.
Talk to us.
Let it be known. You know?
Talk to your people.
Yeah, let it be known what you're in favor of. And like I said, if it came out that the majority of Hochatownians was for a 5-lane, that's
you'd
what I'm doing.
Back off of that.
That's
huh?
what I'm
gotcha.
Doing.
All right. Well, there you go, people. I mean, you can make all the accusations against me you want. I'm cool with that. It doesn't bother me a bit. So, but I want everybody to be heard in this situation.
And I will say, Jay operates with the utmost integrity.
I have zero journalistic integrity because I'm not a journalist, for the record.
He has been paid, compensated $0. If anything, I probably owe him money through the whole thing.
Yeah,
I know that it's very few people that get on there. I mean, the squeaky wheel, you know, that's who you hear.
Well, and it's like, I hate to be mean about it, but like sometimes I read comments on Facebook and I go, well, why should I care?
Yeah.
Well, like I was just seeing a thread about the casino, and people were just on there like, they've got a lot of work to do. It's nothing like I thought it would be. They should have done this. They should have done that. What do you know?
Yeah. Right. That's what I want to say. What do you know?
Yeah, and I do.
You may be right. You may not be right. But at the end of the day, like, you know, your little snarky comments on Facebook aren't going to do it.
Didn't do anything. Didn't move the needle one inch of a degree.
Like, do you feel better? Great. Buy a journal.
I mean, and there's even been some comments that I would benefit from the loop and that I should be honest and come forth and let people know that I would. Yeah. I don't own any land out there by the loop. Gotcha. I would benefit it the same as anybody else. I don't own any land out by the loop. But the irritating part is that can be – they can find that out with a simple.
Yeah, they can click. They're speculating on Facebook is the worst because people will run with it just because they want to believe something negative about you.
They see it on there. Oh, it must be true.
The way I say it is, if you find that you don't like me because of comments you've seen people post on Facebook, come get to know me.
Yeah.
Come, I would love to meet you because I have no enemies, zero.
I don't want any new friends.
Yeah. If you don't like me.
Well, I don't mean I'm going to hang out with them tomorrow. I just come meet
I'll
me.
I'll answer your questions.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't like me at the end of that, then now you know me and you have made that decision not like me.
I do want to congratulate, before we get off here, I want to congratulate our jiu-jitsu school.
Yeah.
Kick and tail at the recent in-school competition.
Did they all dominate?
I think we won every.
I love it.
We pretty much cleaned house, I think. Well, I was told the only bracket we didn't win, we didn't have anybody in it because Shiloh didn't go either.
There you go.
It was the big boy bracket.
The big boy bracket.
There.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I didn't go either. Injury.
Yeah. I'm injured. Well, I'm trying to work through it. But,
So that just means next year when we have it again, we'll be even better.
Yeah.
Shout out to Josh. Josh got him tapped a brown and a purple belt.
Nice.
So, I mean.
I love it. Keep working, brother.
Pretty.
That's pretty stout.
Yeah.
He is pretty stout, though.
And
I like that. I like that I can keep him from tapping me a lot longer now.
That made me feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you guys seen the video. He sent me the video, and he made it look pretty easy.
Oh, I love
it. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can get a brown belt or
a
purple belt.
Yeah, purple belt.
Yeah. So maybe it is possible. So I got to heal up. But anyway, shout out to those guys. Hey, if you're in the area and you want to do something that will benefit you.
Yep. Make you grow as a person.
Go to jiu-jitsu.
Deo Gloria Jiu-Jitsu Broken Bow.
It'll humble you. It'll get you in shape. And plus, if it ever goes down, you can take care of yourself.
All right, that's going to do it for hosting Hochatown, another edition of Hocha Talk. Peace.
See you guys.